I love coming on the airwaves on Mondays during football season and saying a certain thing. Not only saying welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show, but on Mondays during football season, I'm like, all right, everyone, welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show. It is a
victory
Monday. Well, today is not Monday. Even if today is your Monday, people say that with whatever job they have. Oh, today's my Monday. Okay, good for you. For the rest of us, today is not Monday. Today is Thursday. But I feel like it's a Monday during football season because it is a
victory
Thursday. I don't know if we've ever had one of those around here. A victory Thursday? We've had victory Fridays because sometimes the Dolphins will play on a Thursday. We've had victory Tuesdays. Sometimes they'll play on a Monday. But a victory Thursday?
Victory!
Hey, I'll take it. It is Thursday. It's May 9th. And I feel like we should be having a big celebration. Because that Panthers win last night, it was thrilling. It wasn't just a win. It was a big win. It was a well-needed win. It was a gotta-have-it win. And the Panthers, they got it. The Cats, they are back. Am I overreacting to last night's game? Probably so. Did I overreact to game one? Probably so. Do I care? No. I don't. When they lose during the playoffs, I'm mad. When they win, I'm happy. And I think all of us should be in the same boat. We should all be feeling the same way. You're a Panthers fan right now. After seeing what we saw last night, you should be excited.
I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control, and I think I like it.
Talk about a memorable night. If you were lucky enough to be in that building, congratulations to you. That game had absolutely everything you could want. On top of it, it guarantees a Game 5 Tuesday night back in Sunrise. You're a season ticket holder. You got your playoff strips. I still say playoff strips. Some of you don't even know what that means because there's no more playoff strips. It's just, okay, you've got your tickets. Playoff strips. I used to be a season ticket holder for the Florida Panthers since they came into existence. And that was in the early 90s, 93. You would get real tickets, the hard stock tickets. And come playoff time, you would get playoff strips. It would be a strip of tickets. Normally, if I say strip on this show, I'm talking about
girls.
But if I was doing this show 30 years ago, I would be talking about these kind of strips, playoff strips. And I loved getting those playoff strips. Never got to use the entire strip, only once, but I loved getting them. And for those of you that have your tickets to all of the games in this round, however they're working them out among season ticket holders, whatever you were able to buy, or you went on the secondary market and you grabbed some for game five after they lost game one, maybe you got a better deal, good for you. Hopefully, the Florida Panthers will be up 3-1 because I'm overreacting to last night's game so much. I'm even bringing up 3-1 coming home for game five. But at minimum, you want it to be 2-2. Because if the Panthers are down 3-1, which I don't think they'll be, then game five is like, oh, geez. I don't even want to talk about that because we're celebrating right now. You should be celebrating every day. You wake up, you should celebrate. Did I sound like this on Tuesday? If I go back to Tuesday's show, did I sound like this? I don't think so. I think I had to crack open a Monster Energy drink. I think I was down in the dumps because Monday's game was horrific. It was frightening. Yesterday, I was scared. I was very nervous about last night's game, and then the Panthers go down 1-0, and I'm thinking, oh, boy, oh, no. I wasn't only going to be sad about the Panthers losing, but for show purposes, if the Panthers are eliminated, what the heck are we going to do? Compared to last year when we had dual finals runs, the Heat and Panthers, if they're both done in early May, what are we going to do? Going to talk about Tua and Jimmy for 2 or 3 months? Oh, no. Going to talk about the Marlins? It'd be tough. We could do it, but it would be tough. I'd be better off calling up my friend Brian in Chicago, second time I mention him now, and putting him on the airwaves. That would be more entertaining than Marlins talk. Thankfully, though, the Florida Panthers answered in a big way last night. This was the type of game where I come on here and I feel like all of you watched it. And I feel like all of you are fired up. Not just me, but all of you are fired up. Because what else did we have going on last night? What else were you possibly doing? You went to dinner. When you got back home from dinner, what were you doing? I don't want to know every single detail, but I hope you were watching that game. This is the opportunity the Florida Panthers have been waiting for. At least the front office, the insides of the organization. They've been wanting the spotlight. And last year, they deserved the spotlight, but they couldn't get it because the Miami Heat were playing at the same time. And the Heat went all the way to the NBA Finals, as we know. So the Panthers have always been secondary. Now, the Panthers are at the forefront. This is all about the Florida Panthers in South Florida. Yes, we have Inter-Miami CF playing and Messi and Suarez and that group, and they're doing very well. That's the regular season. Nobody is getting as fired up for MLS regular season games as they are for the NHL playoffs, which are going on right now. And I love every single minute of it. I love playoff hockey to begin with. And when the Florida Panthers are involved and they're doing well and they're coming off of a 6-1 victory last night over those Boston Bruins and the crowd is chanting, well, I can't say it, then they would throw me off the air. I'm not going to be on the air tomorrow anyway, so don't think like, oh, gosh, where's Andy? Did they throw him off the air? No, knock on wood, I don't think they will. But I'm off tomorrow. I'm off on Monday. I'm taking a long weekend. I deserve it. I'm allowed to do it. I'm going to do it. All of you deserve a long weekend. After last night's game, all of you should take a long weekend. Why not? Mother's Day weekend, just take a long weekend. Tell your boss you're not coming in tomorrow. You need to get ready for game 3 in Boston. Even if you're not going to Boston, chances are you're not. You need to get secured and ready for that game. You need to get your place on the couch, place at the restaurant. You need to be ready for that game. Forget work tomorrow. And then game 4 is on Sunday. You need a day off. After the game, you absolutely need a day off. So forget work tomorrow. Forget work Monday. We can all come back here on Tuesday and talk about everything. And after we're done talking about everything on Tuesday and you're back to work, then you come play in my poker tournament and we get to hang out together. So first on Tuesday, you get to hear my voice. How lucky are you? And then you get to go to the Hard Rock in the poker room and we get to hang out and play cards. I just set up your entire schedule. Do it. Tell your boss you're not coming in tomorrow. You're not coming in Monday. You're a good enough employee. They're not going to replace you. Tuesday, you tune in. We hang out in person. I take your chips. You fight for second place while I get first, and then we're all good. And if you're not going to go to the game Tuesday night, you watch it in the poker room. We could all watch it together. I just did everybody a huge favor. I just set up your entire next 5 or 6 days. Thank me later. And then while we're playing cards during my tournament, the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament, next Tuesday at 6 p.m., and you could register until 9:30, we'll put in a parlay on the app, and we'll hit that too, and we'll all be very excited. I just figured all of it out. You're very welcome. If you're not going to take off tomorrow and Monday because, oh, I can't. I do hope to see you, though, Tuesday night. I really do. It's the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament. It's in the poker room, Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. We begin at 6. You could register until 9:30. It's $250 to buy in, and there's $20,000 minimum in the prize pool. It's a lot of fun. I hope to see you there Tuesday night. It's less than a week away, but I really think you should take my suggestion on the other days as well. All right, I'm fired up. I'm ready to talk. There's been words coming out of my mouth for the last 11 minutes, but nothing that I really want to get to. Now I'm ready to get to what I really want to get to. I haven't opened a Monster Energy drink today. I promise you I haven't. I have one next to me right now. It's closed. It's not open. I had coffee this morning. I had a nice breakfast. But I'm just so happy about last night's game. And now I've got many things to say about it in detail. But I can't until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
Last night, the Florida Panthers didn't just get a win. Last night was not just a victory for them. Last night was a statement. The Florida Panthers punched back, and they did it in the biggest of ways. Last night was a playoff-turning victory. You could tell it was a show-turning victory, that's for sure. If the Panthers had lost that game last night, they would have been toast. I would have been super down today. I would have not been hyped up. It would have been miserable. All of us would have been down in the dumps. But we're not. Because the Florida Panthers last night made a statement. Going into that game, the way Swayman was playing, my thought was, and I said it so many times yesterday, here's the hot goalie. This is it. The Bruins, they've got the hot goalie. They're a bad matchup. They got the revenge factor. The Panthers are 0-5 against them this year. They haven't scored a power play goal against them all year. How are the Florida Panthers going to beat the Boston Bruins? That was yesterday's show. If the Panthers lose, they're down 2-0. Swayman is awesome. It would have been done and over with. End of the road. Instead, the Florida Panthers completely flipped the script. Game one, the Panthers scored first. They go up 1-0. The Bruins, they answer with 5 goals. Boston wins 5-1. Game two, the Bruins go up 1-0. The Panthers, they answer with 6 goals. Do we now understand the key to the game? You watch games, no matter what sport it is, before the game starts, oh, here's Jimmy's keys to the game. Here's Kyla's keys to the game. The key to this entire series, it's pretty clear. Don't score first. You score first, you lose. If you go up 1-0, prepare for an avalanche of goals. So I think the Florida Panthers should pull Bob to start game three. Not for Anthony Stolarz. Just don't have anybody in net. Leave the net empty. Give up the first goal. Here you go. Take a 1-0 lead, Boston, and then you go on a tear. No, I really don't think the Panthers should empty their net to begin the game, but I hope you get my point. I mean, look at the first two games. You score first, the other team's coming with a barrage of goals. There's really two stories that happened here after that 1-0 lead Boston took. First, the story of the goals where the Panthers scored the next 6. And then it was the fighting. And I think people are fixated on the fighting because it's fun. But the goals, that's why the Florida Panthers won the game. It was an onslaught, and that's what made it so great. The Panthers found every way to score. First, it was a fantastic deflection. Then it was a rebound. Then right before the end of the second period, it was the hockey equivalent of a buzzer beater. Forsling with a rocket. And just like that, the Panthers go to the second intermission up 3-1. And then a beautiful pass, Barkov to Luostarinen, 4-1. Swayman, you're out of here. Go to the bench. I saw the Bruins head coach say something to Swayman. And I'm sure he said, you're starting game three, just go get some rest. But think about it. The dude who had been the hot goalie, he wasn't giving up more than two goals to anyone. The Panthers jumped him. They scored four on him in all kinds of ways. And the next thing you know, he's on the bench. So likely, Swayman starts game three. He should. But that conversation amongst fans and maybe a quick conversation amongst the coaching staff, what are we doing net? At least that's a conversation. For even if it's 10 seconds beforehand, there was no conversation. So Swayman leaves the game, and the Florida Panthers, they were not done. Even with Ullmark in goal. Barkov again, this time it was on the power play, so we can get that streak out of here where the Panthers can't score a power play goal against Boston. And then once that happened, oh, it was on. Once it was 5-1, the Bruins were frustrated. The Panthers, they were frustrated with the season so far against Boston. The officials were asleep, apparently, and it was beautiful. It wasn't just one big scrap, it was several. And the game, it was already out of hand. One of the scraps happened near the net when the Bruins got close to Bob. One happened after Montour made it 6-1. He started talking some trash. It was great. And then the signature moment, Matthew Tkachuk against Pastrnak, the two stars dropping gloves going at it. Tkachuk clearly got the better of the exchange. It was great. Pastrnak asking his coach, hey, coach, is it okay if I fight Tkachuk? Coach is like, yeah, sure, knock yourself out. And he almost did. Matthew Tkachuk is all about that action. And I got a little comparison. I'll bring it to the table in just a moment. What Stewie has brought to the table is the bagel loan. And I've got Stewie's personal cell phone number for you. But the bagel loan, if you're buying a home, need a mortgage, or refinancing, it is exactly what you want. The bagel loan, where you pay zero. Just like the middle of a bagel, there's a big zero right there. I love everything bagels, but there's a zero in the middle of an everything bagel. And that is what you will pay Stewie. Zero, nothing. No lender fees, no appraisal fees. It is the bagel loan. So if you need a mortgage, if you're buying a home, if you're refinancing, you want to call Stewie. He's got the bagel loan, and you will pay him nothing. What I have is Stewie's personal cell phone number. I'm going to give it to you right now. So make sure you put it in your head, put it in your phone. Tell someone in your car to jot it down. You want to get a hold of Stewie. 561-379-4441. That's 561-379-4441. Stewie's got the bagel loan where you pay him nothing, no lender fees, and no appraisal fees. MLS number 226715. You know what Matthew Tkachuk is? Who he is? He is a winning hockey player. Tkachuk is a winning athlete. There really is nothing to dislike about Matthew Tkachuk's game. Now, Bruins fans, I've heard from them. I don't know why I have all these friends named Brian. I've got so many. But I've got a friend, Brian, from Boston. I got a Brian in Chicago. I got Brian's in Miami, all over South Florida. I got a Brian in Boston. And Brian in Boston, oh, Tkachuk's a dirty player. I hate him, blah, blah, blah. You know what? Anybody who says Matthew Tkachuk is a dirty player, They're just mad that he's not on their team, period. Matthew Tkachuk has leadership in him. He's a great person, and he is a winner. He is awesome. And Matthew Tkachuk, he's all about that action. How often do you have a star player on a team? And Matthew Tkachuk is a star. How often does that star player handle their own business and actually mean it? Matthew Tkachuk is not all talk. Matthew Tkachuk is action. He loves getting underneath the other team's skin. And if the other team crosses a line, he will do whatever is needed. He's a star, but if he's got to go to the box, he'll go to the box. He looks so happy having that fight. Like he'd just been waiting for it. It was so good. Matthew Tkachuk, he reminds me of Jimmy Butler. We know Jimmy is a superstar, and playoff Jimmy, he doesn't mess around either. When Grant Williams got in his face, Jimmy was right there. When Jokic and one of the Morris brothers had their thing 2 years ago, Jimmy was absolutely out of his mind ready to go. He was not kidding. He was right there ready to defend his teammate. Do you have any idea how much it fires up the rest of your team, a whole group of guys, when the best guy, somebody who could be a pretty boy, somebody who could have others fight his battles, he could just sit off to the side, everyone else get involved. He starts the thing, but then, okay, yeah, everyone else just do my dirty work. When that guy, the star, is willing to get dirty himself, and in this case, welcomes it and loves it, that is a jolt of energy to that bench. In the last 7 to 8 minutes of that game last night, these two teams knew there may not be another blowout like this. Maybe it'll happen, but you can't expect it. And I bring that up because if it's a one-goal game last night, all these penalty minutes, they're not happening. You wouldn't have seen that sort of nonsense. So you have a blowout game last night. You've got 6, 7, 8 minutes to go. You might as well just start going at it. These teams don't like each other. They had a very tough series last year. They're rivals. You got a blowout. Why not let off some steam? Get it out now. Because the next 5 games, there's no telling which team is going to win 3 of them. We don't know which team is going to have the opportunity to do this again. I would imagine moving forward, we will still see physical play, good checks, good intensity. That I don't think is going anywhere. But all the brawling, the nonstop fights, that will be a product of time and score. They're not getting into these brawls and fights in a close game. Intense, yes. But nothing that's going to send players off for 10 minutes or in the box for 5. Watching all of that go down last night was great. I've talked for several days now about the motivation factor and, you know, which team wants it more. They both want it, but which team is just more motivated? And I had a concern that the Bruins, because the Panthers knocked them out last year and they had this historic team that won the President's Trophy, I thought that Boston would be more motivated because of the revenge factor. But the way the two teams got after it, it wasn't one-sided. They both hated each other. They both were involved in these fights. There's a lot of bad blood that we saw. And now what I see is Panthers' motivation. I see a Panthers' mission. They don't like Boston. And I really do think the Panthers are taking a bigger view of it. They're taking the view of, we could have won the cup last year. But we came up short, and now we need to destroy everybody and finish the job. The fights there, they were a very good sign. I'll ask the question again, am I overreacting to a game? I'll answer it myself, probably so. Last night's game, though, it was way more important to Florida than it was to Boston. Florida, you can't go down 2-0 going to Boston. That's not good. If you look at this series in the big picture, which is the right way to do it, Boston comes to Sunrise, and their goal has got to be, we need to win at least one. We got to at least get a split. They won the first game. They guaranteed at least a split. If you get at least one game in Sunrise, you're going home, and you've got the home ice advantage. 5 games to go, 3 of them will be in your building. Now, of course, the home ice advantage can turn if Florida wins 1 game in Boston. But by winning game one, the Bruins sort of, to me, checked off their goal of at least a split. Now they're free rolling. So even if they lose game two, which they did, they still go home and they've got home ice for now. It's not to say that they were okay with losing last night's game. Of course not. You win the first one, now you have an opportunity to go up 2-0. But Florida needed this game so much more than Boston did. And the way it played out, it showed. The Panthers knew that. The Panthers went on the ice with a mission, and it was accomplished. If you're evaluating a game where the two teams are close, and I think it's safe to say these two teams are close, they fought until the last game of the season for the division, so they're right there with each other. If you've got two teams that are very close and one team has a much greater motivation, they're both motivated. It's the playoffs. But if one's got a greater motivation than the other team, well, that team that is much more motivated will usually win it. Now we're about to find out these next two games in Boston, what's up and who is really on a mission. And I sure hope it's the Florida Panthers. I looked at the app this morning and I tweeted it out. The Panthers to win this series are minus 170. So they're a pretty healthy favorite, not some huge favorite, but a pretty healthy favorite. And again, 5 games to go, possibly. 3 of them would be in Boston. And the Panthers are favored. I'm overreacting, I know. I overreacted in game one. I'll probably overreact after game three. I'll overreact after game four. I'll overreact after every game. It's just in my blood. But I loved seeing what the Panthers did last night. If you had the choice, and it was a given, an absolute given, no question about it, you would lose a game 5-1 and you would win a game 6-1. Wouldn't you much rather lose that first game and win the second because you don't know what's coming in game three? Now, none of this was a given, of course, but I'm just saying if it was a given, I would take exactly how it played out every single time. Let them take the first game, and now give me the second game where I win 6-1, and now let's go to your building and fight it out. Not necessarily literally, but I will take that. I would love to take that. Because if the Panthers won the first game 5-1 and lost last night 6-1, how would we be feeling? We wouldn't be feeling good. Now, at least for me, I'm feeling great. I also feel great when I go to Gulfstream Park, and they got live racing going on right now at Gulfstream Park. It is the Royal Palm Meet. Literally right now at Gulfstream Park, there's live racing going on because it's a Thursday. They've got live races 4 days a week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. When I go to Gulfstream Park, I go to their trackside restaurant, Ten Palms. get myself a table, have a fantastic meal, whether it's off the menu or the buffet. I watch the races live right in front of me, and of course I wager on them. You don't even have to wager a whole lot. You could wager 10 or 20 cents and possibly make thousands of dollars. I see it happen all of the time. It's the Royal Palm Meet. It's going on right now, live racing Thursday through Sunday. It's in Hollandale Beach. You'll have yourself a great time at Gulfstream Park. Before I check in with Clay Ferrero from WPLG Local 10, shall we check in with the Marlins? I didn't hear any yeses in the audience, so I guess not. Okay, good. I mean, they're off today anyway, so they won't lose. That's a plus. They're home against the Philadelphia Phillies this weekend. I love baseball, but I can't say right now that I love the Marlins. You may love what you've seen in your neighborhood. Somebody riding around on a really cool golf cart. It's a golf cart, but it's not really a cart. If you've seen one and you want to get one for yourself, go to Cliggy's Carts, because Cliggy, he's got much more than just a golf cart. Cliggy's carts are all aluminum. And not only does Cliggy have 48-volt carts, he's got 72-volt street-legal carts. You'll get a VIN number, a license plate. You will be the real deal, just like Cliggy is. He's an exclusive Royal EV dealer. If you're going to get one heck of a cart, you want to get it from Cliggy's Carts. Go ahead and Google Cliggy's Carts. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And that's Cliggy with a K. And instead of asking your neighbor, hey, can I test out your cart? Just go to Cliggy's Carts and drive one for yourself. Cliggy's Carts is at 1751 West Copens Road in Pompano Beach. And right now, Cliggy's giving out a $2,000 rebate. If you are going to get one heck of a cart, you want to get it from Cliggy's Carts. Normally, I like having Clay Ferrero from WPLG Local 10 on this show on a Friday. But tomorrow is a travel day for me. I'm playing in a poker tournament on Saturday. Clay's got a lot going on, too. At least that sounds good. You know, I don't know if he really does. Clay, do you have a lot going on? I mean, Manso's on his way to Boston to cover this series, the next two games for you guys at Channel 10. What are you doing?
It is a big weekend. We've got on Saturday the All-Star game for the 8-and-under Cooper City softball squad. So I'm actually the pitcher. I'm the coach pitcher. So I gotta have my arm nice and rested, and you want to toe that balance between rest and rust. I don't want to have a sore dead arm, but I also don't want to lose my aim.
This time of the year, last year in 2023, you were traveling everywhere. Manso was traveling everywhere, but now I guess with the heat not going anywhere at all, you were going to be here in South Florida more.
Maybe we'll probably alternate a little bit, assuming that the Panthers go as far as they did last season. I think we're all feeling a little bit more positive about that this morning than we were after the first period last night. But, you can tell how quickly these series can change.
Did you think I was a little bit over the top in my game one analysis? I don't know if you tuned in or not. If you didn't, that's okay. But it was the same conversation that we had via text.
If it's the same as off air, then yes. I think that game felt really, really bad. Game one felt really, really bad. And yet, I think it's fair to say that you can throw all of these things in a blender and you can have a game look like that. The rust factor, the fact that Boston's on an emotional high from winning that series over Toronto, the fact that Swayman at that point had been playing really, really well, and the fact that, hey, Boston is a good team. And so, yeah, game one felt really bad. I thought it was one of those games where you lose 5-1. And it actually was potentially worse than the score indicated. It just felt like Boston controlled that from the beginning of the game. And yet last night, it looked like the complete opposite. And so now I think we're kind of left with, hey, this is the series we thought we were going to have. I don't think the Panthers have any fear of going up and playing in Boston, certainly not after last season, and roll it out there and let's see what happens.
Okay, so to you, Clay, how does one not overreact yet again? And I'll raise my hand, even though I've already done it today. How does a fan not overreact to last night?
Well, I think in your case, you have to overreact because you have to come back to the center because you were so far the other way. I think it's what we've seen with this team is they're extremely talented. And I think in many ways, too, look, last night, what did Boston have? Like, they went, I think, 10 minutes without getting a shot. I think it was even more than that. And so, you know, the Panthers, yeah, Bob is so important to them, and he really held them together through, you know, I would say a period and a half plus in game one. But at some point, if you're not playing good defense, the dam is going to break. And I think that's what happened in game one. Now, the flip side is if you play like you did in game two and you're the aggressor and you're able to keep some of those good opportunities out of your zone, then you know, you can look like last night. So I think the overreaction is only if you overreacted to the first one. I think it's time to come back towards the middle. And I think we're you know, hey, would it be nice to be up 2-0? Absolutely. And yet I think after two games, you can kind of see either way that either one of these teams is capable of beating the other, and both teams have the ability to go all the way.
If you go back a few years, Clay, did you ever think you'd be breaking down Florida Panthers hockey in the middle of May for two consecutive years?
Not to this extent. And man, it's really a testament to the organization, and it's really cool to see what they've built. And it's also cool to see the fans showing up and showing out. And, you know, it's fun because we got to travel a couple of different places last year and see what hockey fans are like around the country. And I think you're starting to see the Panthers and their fan base start to become one of those fan bases. And, you know, it's a real credit to the organization and Bill Zito and everything that they've done.
Isn't it disappointing, though, Clay, that we're not going to go to Vegas in June? I mean, I might for the World Series of Poker, but...
Yeah. Well, I might have to fly out there with you if we're not covering the Stanley Cup Final. But, yeah, you know, when they got knocked out, it was like, man, it was such an easy, fun travel experience, you know, not just because it was Vegas, but because it's so, like, you're right there next to the arena, and there's so many hotel options close to it, but... You know, if they end up hoisting the cup this time around, it'll be even better, regardless of where it is.
I know we got a long way to go, but wouldn't it be something, Clay, if for the second consecutive year, a South Florida team is playing for the championship in Denver? Because that could happen again in the same building.
That would be great. At this point, as long as I don't have to use my passport at this point, I'll be happy
You don't want to go to Medellin?
Medellin's one thing. I'm talking about for...
Oh, I know what you meant, but I mean, you know, a passport's a passport. It can get you many places.
I don't need that kind of a long-distance flight. Denver I can do. Denver I can handle.
Clay Ferraro from WPLG Local 10 with us here on the Andy Slater Show. Once the Panthers are done playing, and hopefully it's not until mid to late June, what do you think is going to be the biggest topic? And I'm only going to give you two options. If you think it's something else, throw it in there. One, Tua and a contract extension, or two, Jimmy / contract extension / will he be on the Heat?
I think it's two because I think there's a lot more mystery there, a lot more opportunity for other things to happen. I think with Tua, I think he's eventually going to get the deal. I think they're, you know, they're probably trying to find a place to meet in the middle, but I don't think there's any doubt that the Dolphins want Tua under contract. And I don't think there's any doubt that Tua wants that stability. And I have a hard time seeing Tua like hold out to the extent where, you know, he would risk that long-term stability. I just don't see that. I think eventually they come to an agreement somewhere in the middle. Whereas with the Heat, I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. I feel like what Pat Riley did the other day was really smart. I feel like Jimmy is somebody who has never responded well to soft or weak leadership. And, you know, I remember when after there was a playoff game with the 76ers and Brett Brown comes out and says he was James Butler. He was the man in the room. He was the grown up in the room. And they asked Jimmy about it. And he's like, nah, my name's Jimmy. Like, don't do that. Like, that's not. No. So I think Jimmy responds better when, you know, when he knows that he hasn't lived up to expectations and people are willing to to be honest about it. And so I think that what Riley basically did was assure that this is going to go one way or the other quickly. It's either going to really be bad and they're going to have to move on quickly, or Jimmy's going to respond, that he's going to come out and be the best version of himself. And I think that makes everything better for the Heat either way. So I like that.
You think, though, I mean, let's just say Jimmy stays on the Heat, Clay. You think Pat Riley's words will change what Jimmy does during the regular season on his own?
No. I think the fact that that's the attitude, I think the fact that they're willing to be transparent that this wasn't good enough, and you know, whether it's public or private. I'm never a believer that that words mean a whole lot, or that, you know, like you and I talked about this off air, but the, you know, hey, the Bruins want revenge. They're no, like,
oh, once trust you get me, out, I talked about that on the air plenty too.
I'm sure. I never buy into that, to a lot of that external stuff. You've either got it or you don't. But I do think that historically with Jimmy, if he's kind of allowed to coast, he's not going to respect the organization that's allowing him to do that. And so I think that what this does is it kind of shows that, look, this is the mindset of the Heat organization. They're acknowledging publicly, and I'm sure privately as well, that this needs to be better. And I think that I don't think it hurts to remind Jimmy that this is why you came here in the first place, because we are going to be willing to call you out on this, and we're going to let this happen. Whereas an organization that's willing to allow slippage, I don't think Jimmy's really gonna respect and reach the highest level with.
You think Peter Bendix or Bruce Sherman's going to be up next saying, we're not going to allow this team to coast, we need to fix things, because right now they're just coasting?
That's so bad, man. Like, I'm trying to hold back, but it's embarrassing. The whole thing is embarrassing, and it's a shame that Marlins fans have to deal with this all over again. And you had somebody who wanted to be here in Luis Arraez, and I just, man, it's just such a shame when you saw that there were some building blocks in place last year, and instead of actually building on a foundation, instead they did nothing, and now they're tearing it down.
It is sad. It's sad to hear you talk about it. It's sad for me to talk about it. I'd rather not talk about it.
Like, I can't even joke about it.
I know.
Like,
I know.
Joke about everything. I can't even joke about it. They've made the joke themselves. It's just that. Yeah,
sad.
It's a shame. Yeah.
Clay Ferraro from WPLG Local 10. Thanks for the time on this Thursday. Everybody could follow Clay at ClayWPLG. Enjoy your weekend and softball game and everything you got going on.
You too, brother. Take care.
Take care. Again, Clay Ferraro, WPLG. Local 10 softball games. That's where the parents scream because the coaches don't know what they're doing. At least those are the stories that I've heard and the videos that I've seen. I'm not here tomorrow. It's a travel day for me, and I'm off on Monday, but I'll be back with you on Tuesday. Don't miss me too much. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.